and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
How are you? Good. Hey, before you sit down, would you just turn to the person next to you and say, you look so much better after worship. And you may grab a seat. You know what I'm talking about. Before worship, before your coffee, after worship, there's a glow that's coming out of you. Are you doing well, church? It's such a privilege and an honor to be here. As Pastor Tim was saying, I've known Pastor Brad and Allison now for decades. Decades and decades. They were one of our youth pastors and really poured into my life. In fact, Pastor Brad taught me how to pray. He would pick me up in the after works on some days, and he would ring me up and say, listen, let's go and pray. And I'm like, okay, is everyone else coming? No, it's just you and me. We're going to pray. And he'd take us to the bush and he'd go, now pray. And then he'd walk off and pray by himself, and I would watch how he prayed, and he'd walk up and down. If you've ever seen Pastor Brad pray, is he still praying like that? Up and down fervently, you know, and literally that's how I learned to pray. I modeled it after him, and he has so many sons and daughters together. They have so many sons and daughters across our nation, and you are blessed to have amazing pastors. Give them a massive round of applause. We do love you guys dearly. And I bring greetings from my beautiful wife and my three sons. I was able to bring one handsome fella here, but I've got a picture of my beautiful wife and my three boys there. They are beautiful chocolate Indian babies. Yes, they will fetch a beautiful big dowry for their bride price. And I'm allowed to make those jokes, you're not. Some of you are going, how dare you? I'm allowed to, but you're not allowed to. And my wife sends her greetings. She's at our church this morning. And Pastor Brad did ask me to also mention that I am an author of my first children's book on sex, on puberty, on pornography, and on marriage. And it's called The Chat, and it's available outside. And it's specifically written for fathers to read to their children who are between 7 and 10 years old. I notice there are a lot of children here. And it's specifically for boys, because I believe that it's the father's role to set a foundation, God's word, for the children. And especially for their boys, if you start the conversation early, then when they are going through something, they can actually come to you, and yours will be the first wisdom to set the foundation on their life. I believe the foundation of our life should be built on the Word of God, and I can't trust somebody else to do it. And by the time your child is 7, they say on average now, between 7 and 10, they've already known through pornography, through their school friends, through the secular world that we're living in, all sorts of lies that the enemy would base and want to base as their foundation. But I believe the Word of God can change that. And I believe, fathers, it's our job. Amen? And so if you've got a young boy, would you please avail yourself to that? And it's outside in the foyer. Well, my wife is an op shop queen. Any op shoppers here? All right, my wife is an op shop queen, and a few months ago, I came home from work, and she had this smile from ear to ear, and you always know something's going on. And she goes, honey, I've been shopping. Immediately, your heart, your Indian heart, starts racing just a little bit extra, right? I go, okay. And she goes, I bought a handbag. And she showed me the handbag. I've got a picture here, and I'm like, okay, why are you so excited? She goes, oh, you don't understand, babe. I paid $6 for this handbag. I'm like, oh, that's all right. The Indian in me is like, great, great. And she goes, no, you don't understand. It's an Alexander McQueen original. And I'm going, is that a Disney Pixar movie? A cars, a racing, Mike? She goes, no, 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 you don't understand. And then she went on her phone and she pulled up this picture as well. You see that bag on the very right there? That's the bag. It retails at $1,872. And I raced into my wallet, took out $20, said, go shopping, lady, go. Buy three more and come back. And I'm like, what? You paid $6 for this? This is amazing. She goes, yes, it's authenticated and there's a number on it to show you it's original and it had everything in it that it's supposed to have. And I was absolutely thrilled. What is the moral of the story? Number one, is it Sharon is a great op shopper? No, that's not it. Number two, does Sharon know a good buy when she sees it and that's why she picked me? No. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is it takes great wisdom and discernment to be able to discern between trash and treasure. She was telling me that the bag was in and amongst this massive mountain of used bags. And there was lots of women. Apparently, it's like feeding time at the safari as all these women are in there looking through these bags. And so many women saw the bag but couldn't see the value and the worth. And they just threw it on and they were looking for something else. After all, it's just a black leather bag. I don't know if it's worth $6. But the moment she saw this bag, like a hungry gazelle, she just jumped in and she grabbed it and she ran to the counter and she goes, I would like to buy this, please. Because she understood the value and the worth of the thing. She had discernment and she had revelation in that area. It reminds me so much of a parable that Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew 13, 44, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. For most of my life, I've read this scripture, I've read this parable before, and I thought that the man in the story was me. I thought that the treasure was Jesus Christ. Anyone else thought that? Yeah, if you read that story before, that I'm the man, and when I stumble across Jesus Christ, I realize he's such a great treasure, and I need to be willing to sell everything I have just to gain him. In fact, I've actually preached that way a number of times when I've read this passage. But lately, about a month ago, the Holy Spirit's been revisiting this passage. And as I was meditating on it, I realized that I completely missed the whole point of this story. He challenged me and he asked me, what do you have that you can sell to gain Christ? What do you own that you can give away to be able to gain access to the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ? What do you own? You have nothing. And therefore, the man in the story is actually not me. And the treasure in the story is not Christ. Then who is this parable talking about? And the Holy Spirit said to me, I am the man. Jesus was the man. And when he came upon the treasure, which is you and I, he saw the treasure of great worth. He saw through wisdom and discernment and through revelation your potential, your future, the treasure that was in you. And he said, I must do whatever I can to make sure that I purchase this. And the Bible tells us that he purchased us through the shedding of his blood. He left the glories of heaven. He left the worship of the angels. He came to earth as a man. He suffered all sorts of horrible atrocities so that his blood could purchase and redeem the treasure that is you and I. Isn't that true? That is the whole gospel message. For God so loved you that he gave everything, that he gave his son to die for you and I. But the Holy Spirit went on to challenge me. And he said, do you see what I see? Can you see? Do you have the wisdom, the discernment, and the revelation to see the treasure that is in humanity? And I'm not actually just talking about the person next to you, because it's so easy to look at Pastor Tim and go, there is a gift. There is a man of God. There is a treasure for the kingdom of God. It's so easy to look around and see different ones and go, wow, that person is so valuable. That person is so precious. But the Holy Spirit challenged me. When you look at yourself, do you see what God sees? Do you have a revelation? Are you wise enough? Do you have the spirit of discernment to be able to look at yourself and not say trash, but to actually say treasure, precious, valuable, worthwhile, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would give everything he has to purchase you? Can you see what I see? The Apostle Paul echoes this revelation in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We do. Do you have that revelation? I have treasure. As I said, it's so easy. All my life, I've looked around at the people around me, looked at great men and women and God, and thought, wow. What a future they have. Wow, if only I could preach as well as them. If only I could lead as well as them. If only I could steward my finance as well as them. That's fantastic to see the worth and the value in the people around you. That's important. But today I want to say, do you see it in yourself? Do you see it in yourself? In Matthew chapter 13, 45 to 46, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, everyone say one, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This parable sounds very much like the first, but when we talk about treasure, we're talking about a lot. But here in this particular parable, it's about one. So it's not just humanity that Christ Jesus came to die for. It was for one. It was for you. Christ Jesus came to die for me. I love the psalmist David. I think he's a wild guy. This is what he says in Psalm 139, verse 14, about himself. All right? He's not looking at the good people around him and going, man, you're fantastic. You're wonderful. God's created you for a great... He's looking at himself in the mirror. Psalm 139, 14, he goes, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know that full well. I go up to my wife every morning and say, baby, I praise God that I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works I know full well. He has this revelation, not just about the worth of the people around him, but how God sees him. He has this discernment, this revelation of the treasure that is within. One of the prayers I've had to pray a lot over the years so that I can live who God has called me to live, to the standard that God has called me to live, is, God, open my eyes to see the wonders you see in me. Open my eyes to see the wonders you see in me. I want to know them well. I want to be like David. I want to go, wow, it's not a big head. It's not being proud. I'm so fantastic. But no, God says you are. You are a treasure. Now, come on. We need to see what God sees. And here's why we need to see what God sees. There's three reasons why it is so important to see what God sees. Number one, unless you can see what God sees in you, you will not steward your life well. Someone had this handbag, $1,872. Someone had it, but they couldn't see the worth. And so when it was time to clear out the bags, I'll throw that in the Good Sammies, would you? They didn't understand the worth, so they didn't steward it well. But if you could see the worth
you would steward what you have so well. If heaven was willing to pay all so that you could be purchased, you have something so precious. And until you see that, you won't be able to steward the gift, the life that God has in you.
When I was 13 years old, I started going to youth group. And one of our kids workers, because I was the children's minister back then. But before this happened, I remember one of our kids ministry coordinators, they came to me and said, "Hey, Joel," this is a plug for you, Hannah, I know. Thank you. "Hey, Joel, why don't you start serving in kids ministry?" And it wasn't because I was lazy or anything like that, but I never thought that I could make a difference in somebody else's life. That I had something to give, that I was somebody with an anointing, that I had somebody, you know, that was somebody that can make an impact in people's lives. And I remember speaking to her and going, "You want me? I'm just 13. I'm the youngest son in my family. I can hardly speak English without a Malaysian accent. You want me to be involved in children's ministry? Yeah, I see the hand of God on you. I see that God has called you, that you've got a future. And I see one day that you're going to be imparting and discipling many people." And that person was able to see in me the gifts and the talents that I couldn't see in myself. They actually launched me. I am where I am today because someone saw the worth in me back then. And until I could see it myself, I couldn't steward this gift and this talent. You know, some of us have so many gifts and talents laying dormant because we don't even believe we have it. And today God's saying, "Come on, you need to start seeing what I see. Come on, you need to start getting a spirit of revelation and discernment about your value, about how I've created you. Then you can steward your life well. You can steward your gift well. And you can live the life that God has called you to live." Here's the second thing I realized. Unless you can see what God sees in you, you're going to struggle with your relationship with Him. You're going to struggle with your relationship with Him. You see, religion paints a picture that God is far off and all humanity is trying to chase after God. We're trying to reach up to Him, maybe with good deeds, maybe with giving, with compassion, whatever it is. We're trying to reach God, but God is aloof. God's got His back turned. But that's not the picture in this parable. It's not that you are stretching out to God. But that even before you were born, even before you could think and dream, God was reaching out to you, and that God gave everything for you even before you knew Him. That He is lovingly chasing after you this morning and not the other way around. We have this show called The Voice. I'm sure we have it here as well, right? The Voice. How many people like The Voice? It's a family. Oh, maybe not. Everyone gets on the stage and there's four judges with their back turned, and everyone gets on that stage and performs and does their best, hoping, praying. Some of them are shaking, crying. Some of them are so nervous. All they want to do is impress maybe just one judge, maybe just one person. Hopefully I'm good enough. Hopefully I can reach their hearts with my singing. Hopefully I have enough that would make a judge press the button and turn around and say, "I want you." But can I tell you, some of us use that mentality in our relationship with God. If only I prayed more, if I read more, if I gave more, if I served more, maybe God will turn around and say, "I want you." Well, this parable tells me that He turned around even before I was born. While I was in my mother's room, He was pressing that button saying, "I want you, I want you, I want you." And until you get that revelation, the way you relate to God is going to be strained. When you get this revelation of your worth and your value, there's no more performance. You realize that through your sin, your shame, all your past, God still loves you. God still wants you. There's a different way of reacting and relating to Him. Here's the third thing. Unless you can see what God sees in you, you're going to struggle in your relationship with others. you're actually going to struggle in your relationship with others. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The same measure you love yourself is the only way you can love your neighbor. The same way. Some of us can love our neighbor and we think we can love our neighbor, but until we start getting a revelation of the treasure that is within, we can't truly love. We don't see that yet. I experienced it when I got married. You see, the Chalaya boys, and I want you to look up here, not back here. The Chalaya boys have no bottom. We've just grown up with flat bottoms. That's just one of the curse of the Chalaya boys. Growing up, we wore a number of shorts behind our shorts or underneath our jeans, so we had a little bit of a bootay, right? But we just have straight bottoms. And growing up, they all teased us about not having a bottom and how our jeans would always hang down low. And so I got a little bit of a complex. I was okay with everywhere else except my bottom. I didn't love my bottom, until I got married, being very, very personal here. And one day, my wife says to me, oh, you got a cute bum. And you know, that was meant to be a compliment. But because of the way I saw myself in one particular area, instantly I thought, that's not very nice. How would you like it if I point out all your flaws? You know what? She didn't know at the time that I had a bottom issue. Right? But the moment she meant it to be encouraging, she meant it to be something that would build me up. But instantly I go, how could you tease me like that? I mean, the years of being called, you know, no bum and blah, 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 and all this sort of stuff. And now you make fun of me. And inside, literally, I started pulling back from her because she was actually mocking me in my mind. And instantly I realize that until I can love myself, everybody's relationship is affected by how I see myself. Do you see what I'm saying? It is so important, as the musicians come up to help me, that we get a revelation of whose we are, of how valuable you are. Everything else comes from that. Listen, you want to have a great year this year? It starts by getting a revelation of God's love for you. You want to see great things happen? It starts by being founded. And the foundation is the love of God for you. Not just for everyone else, but for you. Do you have a revelation? Regardless of what you have done, God loves you. Would you stand? Would you put away your Bibles? We're going to sing that beautiful song, Extravagant Love, I think it's called. Or extravagant. Why don't you play that over us? But here's what I've begun to declare over myself. Here's what I've begun to declare over myself. The treasure in me is that I'm made in God's image. When He looks at me, He sees a part of Himself. The treasure in me is that I have been crafted by the most amazing artists. And because He is so perfect, every piece He creates is priceless. The treasure in me is that I've been put together with a whole heap of amazing gifts and talents. All this was put in me while I was being created in my mother's womb. And these gifts were meant to be used for His glory. The treasure in me is the precious Holy Spirit, which I received as a seal on my life when I received Him. This is the treasure in me. Right now, would you just close your eyes all over this place?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.